escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's. Don't forget, coming up tonight, 8 o'clock, leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, our guy Tommy Wirtz.
The big old hunk of love.
Tonight, starting at 8 o'clock, you're going to want to hear that. 8 to 9. Charlie Wirtz. Charlie Hughes, another side of the glass. I keep doing that. I think I've called him Tommy Hughes, and I've called you Charlie Wirtz.
Yep.
Or the other way around. It's just, man. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, he is Ty Windisch of the Eurostep Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windisch. He is pretty face on YouTube. At the Fan Milwaukee's, we stream all of our local shows now. This is the completion of week 4 for this. At the Fan Milwaukee on YouTube, we got shorts, got past interviews and shows up there. Plus, we live stream all of our local shows, including Wisconsin Sports Weekend, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 with Charlie Usen and Jack Pember. You can catch that tomorrow morning. Ty, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing? Oh, hold on. I got to turn you up. All right, go ahead.
When I get the call to join Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on a Friday, it's a great day. Bucks Summer League, last game in a few hours. Nothing could be better. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate the love. However, I'd like to keep it there, but we're going to have to rewind to the last topic, apparently, because apparently Charlie said you had thoughts in YouTube about Freddie Peralta, who we were just talking about. So by all means, Ty Windisch, express your thoughts on Freddie Peralta.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to pay a pitcher to pitch in his 30s with the way they bring in random guys. I mean, Quinn Priester, who thought Quinn Priester was going to be good? They just pluck these random guys. Obviously, The Miz is going to be the foundational piece their staff is built around. And they never, I mean, we saw with Burns, like Woodruff, I think that mutual option for $20 million, I don't think there's going to be a mutual pickup on that one, even if he does pitch pretty well. I think in the winter, it wouldn't shock me if he found a new team, maybe next deadline, but I hope they keep him for this run because he does have that pretty cheap option coming up, but I don't think they're going to pay.
I will be
mad at them anymore.
Yeah, I understand.
They always do it right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I will be interested if they move Peralta in the winter, because they're not moving at the deadline, but if they were to move him in the winter, I just wonder how big of a haul they're going to get back for Freddie Peralta, and how much of it will be pitching, or will they be looking for bats more than they're looking for pitching when they go to move Peralta this winter?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, right? Maybe try and get one of the corners spots you're looking for or whatever it is by that point.
Yep.
And listen, I think maybe they just keep him, you know, maybe they're just good and they like having him and they keep him and he ends up walking in free agency like Willie Adames.
And but Prince Fielder.
And Prince Fielder. I think that's more likely than the re-signing. I'm not saying they'll for sure trade him in the winter. I just, to me, that seems like a likely path. Maybe they just ride with him and they try to re-sign him and it goes like Willie, right? Where the Brewers go, like you said, here's our reasonable 3-year offer. And then some team who has deep pockets and really wants another starter goes, all right, here's 5 years, 100-some million, and he leaves. And I wouldn't even be that mad at it because they'll backfill the spot. They always do.
Think about it. If he were to leave, and I brought Ty on to talk about the Bucks, but we're still on the Brewers. Think about it. If they said, okay, Freddie, you're gone, we don't get a pitcher back necessarily, right? So now all of a sudden you look at what you have. Let's say they trade Quintana and they keep Cortez. Then all of a sudden you're looking at Mizorowski, say Cortez, Logan Henderson, Patrick, and Priester. Those are your five going into next year on opening day. And if we're being honest, I'd be fine with that. I'm okay with that starting five.
Yeah, and that's before if they find some other vet on like a $4 million deal with a fake mutual option the next year and they get 3.5 ERA ball out of him. After the Willie thing and the way he's hit with the Giants, I just can't question anymore. Like, they're obviously cheap. I'm not saying they're not cheap. I'm not trying to carry water. They just so happen to be right. Most of the time they're cheap, and the players they don't want to pay end up not being quote unquote worth it for the new teams.
Yep.
Whether it's Willie, whether it's Devin, whether it's Corbin, whether it's injuries or just play, and they just keep winning. So it is, I'm just going to tune into the games. I'm not going to analyze the front office anymore outside of just going, yeah, sure, this guy has a 19 ERA, but he's going to come here and have 2.5 ERA and leave and have a 19 ERA. Why not? Whatever. That works for me.
Ty Windish, blind loyalty to the Brewers front office. Ty Windish, yeah. Yo Step Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. Are you in the same boat with John Horst and the Milwaukee Bucks, my friend, pulling rabbits out of the hat left and right, gets Holiday, gets Lillard, figures out a way to get Miles Turner, stretch and cuts Lillard. Nobody saw that one coming either at the end of the day. Where are you with your loyalty to John Horst? Because he said in that piece with Eric Name of The Athletic, hey, man, it's all about maximizing Giannis's prime. We talked about it yesterday. Like, I think he's done a great job trying to maximize Giannis's prime and trying to keep them in a position to compete for something of legitimacy year in and year out through Giannis's prime so far.
Yeah, I think they're of the 2020s or the last 10 years, whatever the metric is, they're one of the three or so winningest teams in the NBA. And as you look at around the league, it's really hard to do that year in and year out, even when you do have the great start of having Giannis as the foundation. And my thing with Horst has always been, does he win every trade? Certainly not. Is he right every time? No. It's pretty rare, though, that at the time of the move being made, I sit here and go, oh, I think that's just plain stupid. Like, I think that's wrong.
Correct.
I think that's dumb. I'm usually like, yeah, this is risky, but it's always been the same deal. And he said this at the Turner press conference. If, like, no one would say we're not aggressive. Like, you know, he was asked, like, does the East being open change how you feel? He's like, no, we have Giannis. We think we have the best guy in the world. Like, we're going to go try and win. And as a fan, that's exactly the mentality you want, I think, your front office to have. I don't care about their cap outlook in 2028. Giannis is 30 right now. And I think maximizing another prime year or two of him versus carrying Dame's, you know, basically just cap hit this year, and then maybe he can play next year and he's good. Maybe not. Maybe you have to trade him. They're just not a team who does maybes. And I think about Philly, who put Embiid through that gap year and all that to sign Paul George, which has been a disaster. And we don't know if he's going to have another prime season. Obviously, Giannis has been much healthier than Joel Embiid, but I get the logic of just saying, we're not going to do a gap year ever. And we'll take some hit later on the draft and the cap, but we're going to bring in talent. We're going to lean into a new style that I think really worked for them last year. It feels like they're very cognizant of, oh, this younger, stretchier, more open floor point Giannis thing. Like, this, we had good result with this against Indiana, against Minnesota, Detroit late in the year. So yeah, I like what they're doing. I'd relatively loyal. I think another trade to get a true small forward would make sense, but I think they can enter the season like this, and I think they're going to be a darn good team.
Okay, so this is the thing. And I understand we're going to have point forward Giannis, and he's just going to drive and kick till, you know, his hands fall off. And hopefully if this team, you know, shoots top three in percentage and top 10 in attempts like John Horst wants, you know, they score enough to win and so forth. I challenge you, go find me another team where you have a star player and the second player isn't scoring at least 20 points a night. Like, to me, that is a big, big challenge for this Milwaukee Bucks team if they don't find another score. Because Miles Turner, okay, let's say he averages 17 somewhere in that area. And then what? What after that? You got a bunch of guys that can average 10, 12, maybe 13 or 14. You know, is that enough to win a championship in today's NBA? Because we have not seen that work since I don't know when. I don't know who even the last team would be.
Well, the team that represented the East in the finals last year would be one of them. Tyrese came in just below 20 points per game. I think Siakam was
just
above
over.
Siakam was.
Yeah, we looked at the Pacers yesterday, correct?
Okay, so yeah, so they were pretty close, you know, Turner's old team there. And then I would say the Thunder were right on the border too. Jalen Williams was 21.6.
What did
game,
I say? One second.
And then
I think it was
15.
They had, I want to say the Pacers had seven. Players yep. at 10 points or yeah. more on that team last year. Seven.
And OKC was pretty close to that too. If you look at it, they had also had seven. I don't know if there's maybe, no, these are all guys who really played. They had seven also who scored average and double figures per game in scoring. I think that's going to be the Bucks' model, is distributing it a little more. Obviously, they have a scorer on par with OKC's in Shea, who was the best yep. offensive player in the league last year, best scorer at least, and better than anyone Indiana had. And then it's, you know, can we get 10 each from Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., who I think is probably going to be in the teens. Maybe he will be your second leading scorer. Turner, Portis off the bench, you know, maybe Kuzma. Maybe Prince in that range. Green, you'd hope, is a double-digit scorer. Rollins, potentially. Cole Anthony, potentially. They suddenly do have a lot of players who, you're right, they don't have that guy where you're like, he's an easy 20. And part of me is like, maybe it's just Trent, and Trent has been an 18 per guy repeatedly with Toronto in the past. But I do think it's more likely they have five players between 12 and 16, and they just get the points that way, which I think is fine. I do think you're right in that outside of a true two-way three, which is really what they need the most, that second go-to scorer is what I'd say most.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about, probably my biggest concern offensively for the Bucks is that. But they have a lot of players who can get their own shot to a degree, and they're going to have Giannis out there in high-leverage situations, which makes that easier. So I don't think they necessarily need that, but it would have been nice if Bradley Beal didn't say no to the Milwaukee for a worse situation for the second time in a row.
He wants to be with the Senior Citizen Club and with the Clippers. The other thing about this is when Damian Lillard got acquired by the Bucks, everybody was like, "Oh, he's an orange cone. People just run around him each way, one way or the other. He's horrible defensively." Okay, fine. As you look now at this guard position, how much better are they defensively at the guard position by adding Cole Anthony with what they have?
Yeah, that's what I said on the show this week, is I think Cole, I think, is like a net neutral defender. But if you look at who they're going to have out there most of the game and crucially in crunch time, high leverage situations, it really feels like they're leaning into this new NBA thing of, it's not about your best link defensively, it's about your weakest link. As now the game has changed so much that it's so perimeter focused, teams can hunt those switches and just pick on players. Like we saw the whole Eastern playoffs, every single round was somebody picking on a guard. And I think the Bucks have kind of moved out of that. I mean, certainly teams will still go after a Kevin Porter Jr. or a Gary Trent when they're out there. But I think those players just have a much higher ceiling defensively than Dame, who I thought most of the time fought, but there's just clear limitations with a guy doing that much offensively and just at his height and frame. And the Bucks are a lot bigger and more capable defensively now at their weakest link. So not to denigrate Dame on the way out, but I do think when I look at this Bucks team, it feels to me more like the ones before the Dame trade, where this could be a team that hangs its hat on its defense. A lot of potential, obviously, in the front court with Turner and Giannis really covering a lot of ground, but also protecting the rim. Guards who can force turnovers. They're missing that Drew Holiday level defender, of course, but I think in the aggregate, they can play very stout defense and then hopefully then get going and transition and unleash Giannis more that way, which we have not really seen in the last 2 years.
Tom and Ty Windish, Euro Step Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. That's T-I, Ty Windish on Twitter. Do you feel like this roster is better than the roster that started the season last year with the Bucks?
I'm a sucker. I always think so. I feel like I'm a blind optimist. I will say I you'd think they'd have less championship equity just because we still assume Dame and Giannis together would be unstoppable and blitz their way through the playoffs, even if the roster around them was flawed. We just really never got to see it. Maybe they would have, you know, we saw it for like Dame hobbled for parts of two games, I think, or parts of three games, barely the third game. So you would say lower based on that, but I think floor wise and just knowing that Dame and Giannis, you know, they scored a lot together. You look at like the efficiency numbers with both on the court last year, they netted out better with just Giannis than with Dame and Giannis. I don't think that's necessarily all on Dame. I think they had some really flawed starting lineups, but I do think it's a team that defensively makes more sense, positionally makes a little bit more sense, and is much more suited to play modern basketball, which trying to start Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez in 2024-25, they just felt so behind the athleticism curve. Whereas I think the group they'll roll out to start this season will be able to handle these younger teams. You know, it's like we kept saying like, oh, it's just like the young teams who are fast and have a stretch five who are a problem. That's everyone now. That's just where the game is. That's every team. You have to be ready for that. So I think they're more equipped to do that going forward.
Ty, where does Thanasis end up? How does this team stack up in the East?
Yeah, pretty interesting that they signed Chris Livingston when they did. I wonder if there was someone sniffing around him, like another team. I mean, Summer League, not technically over yet, and that does technically fill out their roster, right? That's the 15th spot, but Andre Jackson Jr.'s guarantee date pushed back to the regular season in exchange for, I think, $800,000 of the two-ish million up front or guaranteed. It sounds like Thanasis is going to be coming back based on a report from Mark Stein. I'm certainly open to that. I think he does bring them a lot locker room wise, and you just run down all the players they've added and retained this year. I don't see much of a role for Andre Jackson Jr. on the court. We'll see. Maybe there is one, but they pretty much went away from him, Doc Rivers and the staff, as soon as Kuzma arrived. And there's just a lot of other players right now. So if it's going to help keep Giannis, if it's going to get everyone focused and hype, and it did seem like they had some issues with that since losing Thanasis, I have no issue if they do bring him back once again.
I'd rather make him an assistant coach, but regardless.
I mean, yeah, if he wants to do that, that's great, but they don't make $2 million, unfortunately.
He can.
I guess you could.
He can. He's Giannis's brother. Yeah, he can. Sure. He made the highest paid assistant coach in the NBA. I don't care. I just don't want to waste a roster spot. Okay, well, one other thing, and that is Damian Lillard. And we asked earlier, do you feel like Portland swindled the Bucks now looking back at this whole thing? I still say no. You didn't know he was going to get hurt for 2 years. The fact that he goes back to Portland, I'm happy for him. Like, be close to your kids, screw the championship thing. You realize now you don't want to be away from your kids, which I completely respect as a parent. So I get that as well. And from the Bucks standpoint, he's not in the East. He's not going to beat you in the playoffs and cost you a chance to go to the title. I mean, if he ends up in Boston with Tatum and they beat you in 2 years or 3 years from going to the finals, then it looks really horrible. But in this situation, he's never going to come back to burn you, per se. So I'm still okay with it. Bad luck with him getting hurt. It is what it is, but I still don't feel bad about that trade.
No, it's like I mentioned earlier. Like, I think at the time, it was impossible really to argue that that wasn't the right move because we just saw the half-court offense was such an issue. I think that the sin was not building better teams around them. But again, how much does a better two-way, two-guard matter if Dame and Giannis never play the playoffs together? Probably not that much.
Right.
They still should have done better, though. But no, I don't think the Bucks got swindled. I think some of the massaging of Portland's maneuver here has been greatly oversold. A team that lost like 100 games combined the last 2 years. Also, Anfernee Simons goes out to bring in Jrue Holiday, which is kind of being left off of some of the accounting, which I find interesting. And those two guys are going to be a combined age of 72 the first time they play together next season, if they're both even on the team by that point. So I think it's fine that he's going to Portland. I agree with you. That's the best case for the Bucks. Also, they get a little bit of luxury tax set off the next 2 years, which won't be a huge deal, but it's nice. I would have hated Boston. I wouldn't have enjoyed Miami. Portland is fine. Go be with the family, you know, help hopefully this next generation. It gets a little weird if next season they have Dame and Drew and Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe and some of these other young guys, but whatever, they'll figure that out. But no ill will toward Dame, and I do not think Portland swindled, to be clear, given Dame left relatively healthy and is coming back on a torn Achilles.
You think this Bucks team is top four team in the East right now?
Yeah, that's been my position. I think they have home court in the first round, probably only the first round. I don't think there'd be one or two by any means, maybe not even three. I think they'll be in the pack there with, you know, Orlando and Atlanta battling those two teams for that last home court spot.
It's Ty Windish, Euro Step Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. What can people find over at your podcast network?
Really fun episode this week. I did a solo pod earlier, but then I had Camille Davis from Lockdown Bucks Pack-A-Day. She's great. We did a long pod just yesterday going over really the whole roster, some of our big questions, big talking points, building around Point Giannis. So that's the big one this week. Then Rohan and I will be back next week with whatever's going on at that point. Always something new, it seems like, in Bucks land.
Where's that fool at walking around on grass taking videos of himself? Where was he at? Was he at SoFi?
Was that
Petco?
Petco Park?
That's yeah. Where he was. He's
on a side quest right now. That's why, and it's funny because he loves Cole Anthony and he hasn't been able to, he's like bursting at the seams, I think, to talk about Cole Anthony. But
we'll do
that next week. I know everyone's looking for that.
I don't love Cole Anthony. When that thing got announced, I went, yuck. That was the quote tweet that I had over Shams Charania. And my main point was, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen, my main point was, there's a reason why that dude didn't start outside of 1 year in Orlando. Because that is not a starting point guard. He is a, quote, guard. He is not somebody that's going to make a bunch of people better around him or anything of the sort. He wants to score the basketball. That's what he wants to do. So, you know, being a guy that where Giannis is running offense and he can throw up 14 points a night, I think that fits Cole Anthony just fine. And then if you want to press up on the guy coming up the court and use Cole Anthony in that way and expend some of his energy, that works fine for me too. But playing him as a traditional starting point guard, I am out on that, Ty Windish.
I don't think he's going to be the starter. I think he is brought in expressly to be that bench gunner. And I'm actually thinking now, like, could he and Portis be a version of what the Clippers had with Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell a few years back and just let those guys carry the offense? Because that's the big question, right? Like, when Giannis sits, who scores the ball? I think he's another answer. I don't think he's going to start. I think it's going to be it's almost certainly Kevin Porter Jr., maybe Ryan Rollins. I think Cole Anthony is brought in for a different role and really well qualified at that salary for that role, given how much he played for Orlando the last several years.
There he is, Ty Windish, Euro Step Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. Thank you so much, my friend. Enjoy your weekend.
Yep, thank you. Will do.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.